Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McClavey, welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a message about loving God and loving neighbor. Yes, Scripture actually tells us that those are the two greatest commandments. Jesus tells us that, but even before Jesus told us that, we knew that from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy. And so this morning we're going to take a look at what that means for each of us. And then Alan Vest has a beautiful song for us this morning entitled, Change My Heart, O God. So we do look forward to our time together. And we just hope that you will be inspired by God's Word and what we hear from God's Word. So let us begin now with prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the way that you bless us and call us to love you and to love our neighbor. We pray now that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to hear your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 37. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. This is the word of the Lord. What does God want from you? What does he expect? Do you know? That's a question that every person has to answer. And that knowledge would be very important to how you live your life. It would change the way you drive. It would change the way you react to how other people drive. It would change the checks you write. It would change the websites you visit. So let me again ask, do you know what God wants from you? You need to know. You might be interested in what Jesus said about what God wants from us more than anything else. Jesus was once asked straight up, of all the commandments from God, which is the most important? And that's not such an easy question to answer. There are many commandments from God in the Bible. If you open your Bible at the beginning, the first five books are called the Law. They show us what pleases God. For example, you find the Ten Commandments, in which God says, "Don't steal, because that hurts people I love, and it destroys community." He says, "Don't commit murder, because that kills people I created," and so on. The rabbis counted up these commandments, and they found there were 613 commandments in the Law. And they debated which of these 613 commandments was most important. Which one was the core? Is it more important not to steal? Or is it more important not to murder? Which commandment, if you get it right, means that you have pretty much everything else right, that you're living in the will of God and doing what pleases Him? Well, one day, a teacher of the Law asked Jesus, "What's your take? What do you think is the most important commandment?" And Jesus answers him immediately. "The most important command is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And we all understand that. The most important commandment is to love God with everything that we've got. Don't hold back anything. Our entire lives should be a gift of love to God. And then Jesus says there's a second most important commandment, and it's closely related to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want to know what God wants from you? What He wants more than anything else? It's love. It all comes down to love. And that's what God cares about. That's what He thinks is central. That's what He commands us to do. And it's not just a love for God that could somehow ignore the needs of people. No. The two most important commandments go together, like your right hand and your left hand. When you love God and love other people, you've just offered up the one sacrifice that God finds pleasing. God asks for nothing else from you. Get this, and you've got it. Love God and love the people around you. That's good news and bad news. Now, the good news is what God asks of us is something that anyone can do. No matter how much education you have, no matter how much money you have, no matter what you look like or what you've gone through, we can all please God because we can all love Him and love other people. Now, the bad news is that we don't do it. God commands us to do it, and Jesus calls us to do it, but we know within ourselves that we don't really love God with all our heart. No, instead, we love Him with some of our heart and a little bit of our soul and a fraction of our mind and a portion of our strength, but the rest we tend to keep for ourselves. And the reality is, we have these pockets of rebellion in our hearts where we resist God and do not surrender to Him in love. We love Him to some extent, but we keep Him out of those certain areas. Maybe for you, it's your kids. God can have every part of you, but if anything happens to your kids, well, then God has stepped over a line. How many times I have heard someone say that something tragic had happened in their lives, or something that they truly found to be unconscionable. And their response was to say that I'm mad at God. So it's easy for us to say that we love God, but truly, most of us hold back just a bit in case we find it necessary to be mad. Consider money. I know that's a difficult one for many people. I once saw a cartoon entitled The Baptism, where the person is completely underwater except for one hand, which is still sticking up out of the water, and clutched in that hand is the person's wallet. We all have had those times when we have met someone who is very difficult to love, and we just find that this commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, well, sometimes it's just not easy. Sometimes it's not practical. Sometimes we have to take a stand and we have to put someone in their place. But indeed, we are called to love our neighbor. With God's help, our inability to love fully can change, but I know just how hard it is to really love Him, to pour ourselves out for Him, to give freely to Him. But we can do it because He gave freely to us. So why do we find it so hard to do what Jesus said and love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Every week, it's only simple honesty for you and me to confess to God we have not loved you with our whole hearts. But I want to love God with my whole heart, don't you? And the question is, how? How do I increase my devotion to God from, say, 45% of my heart to 65% or to 95%? Well, I've been thinking about that. And I want to make a suggestion that I think will help all of us grow in how much we love God. It's very simple, really. My suggestion is that we say one word to God. Yes. If you want to love God with your whole heart, just say yes. You ask, but what am I saying yes to? In order to know the answer to that question, you have to listen to God. And that doesn't come easy for us, because if you live a normal life, that normal life will be so busy, so distracted, and so fatiguing that you'll find it nearly impossible to hear God at times. You end up with nothing to say yes to. But here's what happens when we slow down and really listen to God. One of the first things you're going to hear from God is, I love you. And you say, hey, when I get quiet, I don't hear I love you. I hear, look at all the things you didn't get done today. I hear about the temptation that I gave into. I hear about the road rage that I engaged in. I hear, what are we having for dinner? Well, those are your own thoughts playing inside your head, but that's not God. When God talks to you, He talks to you in love. Even when He corrects you, which He will, He does it in love. When you hear God say, I love you, here's what you say. Yes. with your will, open up and say, yes, God, I hear you and I receive that and I accept that. I choose not to give in to those things which cause me not to feel loved. And when you say yes to God's love for you, you'll find it a lot easier to do the second commandment, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. What you've been experiencing from God, you start to pass on to others. God fills us with His Spirit and His love, and we surprise ourselves because we find ourselves loving people in a way that we couldn't before. God has forgiven us, and so we can now forgive someone else. God's been patient when we've been slow, so we can now be patient with that person in our lives who needs a little extra time or a little extra help. It's really uncanny, and I'm not sure how it works, but if you say yes to God, you'll automatically end up loving your neighbor too. Have you ever known a really difficult person, only to find that they respond to love and kindness? It happens frequently. We may hear about someone who is difficult to get along with, but we meet them and we treat them with love and respect. And in fact, they respond to that in a way that we find that they're actually quite easy to love. And it can change their lives. It can make their lives so much more enjoyable. I remember during the pandemic when we heard stories of how, you know, grocery store clerks were putting their lives at risk during the COVID pandemic. And yet people were so impatient and talked so rudely to clerks. And I made a conscious decision that I was going to treat them with extra kindness when I went through that grocery line. And it was amazing how they responded to kindness, how they responded to God's love. And that hasn't changed over all of these years. So what about when saying yes to God means self-sacrifice or an act of service? Why couldn't it be something easy, like just giving someone a gift? You know, you can stop at the store and pick up some flowers and be done with it. But when God speaks to you, if you're going to say yes, it will take you to new places, including experiencing new joy and new fulfillment. When you say yes to God, you end up loving God more, and you also automatically ending up loving your neighbor more. So let's make this personal. What is God saying to you? What is He asking of you? For some of you, your pulse is probably pounding right now. You know exactly what God has been asking of you, and you don't know if you can say yes. Well, here's my suggestion. Tell Him yes. Tell Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Give Him everything you've got, because when you say yes to God, you grow in love for Him, and you grow in love for your neighbor. Some of you have heard me speak about my time as a chaplain at the Hospice of St. John in Denver. It was an incredible place, a wonderful place that had been founded. It was one of the very first hospices to be established in this country. And it was established by a priest by the name of Father Paul, That's how we all knew him. Father Paul had come to the United States from Europe, specifically to begin a hospice. And so I'll tell you where the Hospice of St. John really started, however. You know, we talk about how it was started by Father Paul back in 1972. But in all actuality, it started in the middle of Italy in the year 1205. And that's when a 24-year-old man was riding his horse when he saw something in the distance that scared him to death. He saw a man contagious with leprosy. His skin was half gone, his face was disfigured, and the smell was so bad that the rider on horseback wanted to turn and ride away. But instead, that man, named Francis, remembered what God had said to him in a prayer. He said, "Francis, the things that used to make you shudder will bring you great sweetness and content." And so Francis got off his horse, pulled some money out, and put a few coins in the leper's hands. And then he actually put his arms around the leper and kissed him on the cheek. Francis said yes to God. And of course, we're talking there of St. Francis of Assisi. Well, that created an explosion of love that is still blasting around the world today. I want to read to you a passage out of Richard Foster's book on prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. And this is the chapter entitled Radical Prayer. And this is what Foster writes. He says, "We hear the voice of the true shepherd calling us to go to all peoples with the liberating message of life in Christ. We do so with boldness of faith, but also with humility of heart, for we know that Jesus, the true light, has already been shining his truth into the hearts of people. Our task, therefore, is to see where God has been working and into that context proclaim the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Let all nations hear the word by sound or writing. Spare no place, spare not tongue nor pen, but be obedient to the Lord God, and be valiant for the truth upon the earth. Walk cheerfully over the world. When we do these things, we have come to the place where we love others for God's sake and not our own. We are therefore given a boundless compassion for all peoples." That's from Richard Foster's book, Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. Well, friends, 2,000 years ago, at an early morning breakfast by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had only one question for Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus did not ask him about his effectiveness or his skill or anything but his love. Three times Jesus asked, "Simon, do you love me?" And Peter struggled for an adequate response to that probing question. Finally, he responded, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And assured of his heart, Jesus gave Peter work to do. "Feed my lambs." The same question is asked of us today. and the same work is given to us. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us enjoy our time of worship as we hear Alan Best sing "Change My Heart, O God." The lyrics are by Hillsong Music, arranged and performed by Alan Best. Here is "Change My Heart, O God."
Come into my make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
What a great song that is, and how appropriate it is for today's message. Yes, when Jesus was asked by an expert in the law, what is the greatest commandment? He didn't hesitate to respond. He knew the answer: to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love our neighbor as ourself. So friends, as we go forward this week, let us keep in mind that if we are called to accept God's commandment and the following of Jesus in our own lives, let us say yes to his invitation to love him and to love our neighbor. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.